If you will turn with me back to 1 John, the third chapter, and you'll find my text in verse 14. 1 John, the third chapter, and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Dear congregation, our Lord said in John 5, verse 25, Verily, verily, I say unto you, The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And if you follow those words through, our Lord speaks of a future occasion, but also something that was taking place at the present time. A resurrection within the soul. When the dead, those dead in trespasses and sins, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If you go on through that chapter, you'll come to the resurrection to come on the great day. But verse 25 is of a resurrection that takes place within a man. In effectual calling, when the Lord draws near, in the time of love, as we see in Ezekiel. Life is given, and there is no longer that heart of stone, spiritually speaking, but a heart of flesh. Faith is put within. And God's people who believe in Christ can be assured that they have passed from death unto life. And that's what we see in our text tonight. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You see, the Lord opens the heart as he did for Lydia of old. A principle of grace is put within, faith as well, and also love. So the believer is looking unto Jesus whom they love. And they're found loving the brethren as a mark of grace. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, we can consider many marks of grace. Well, here we have a mark of grace in this text. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now this love is seen in deed and in truth. Many can say that they love, but they don't. Notice how John reasons in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. What's he saying there? Is he saying we should never say to people that we love them? No. But our love must be true. And true love will be seen in deed and in truth. But there is life. One knows life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. There's life now. And then we consider further that one has the title of eternal life. And this is what our Lord speaks of in John 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The believer has the title of it now, and some aspects of it now. But then at death they will enjoy it, and then thirdly, at the great day they will fully enjoy, when they go into everlasting life, as we see in Matthew 25, both in their body and soul. There's a progression. One has the title to it now, knows certain aspects of it, as knowing Christ, will enjoy it at death, but then finally fully enjoy it on that great day, and then forever. What a prospect the believer has. They have a little taste now, what they will know in heaven, and then in Emmanuel's land. But not so for the unbeliever who dies in their sin. They will go to hell. So solemn it is for the hypocrite who dies in their sin, and for all unbelievers who die in their sins, for they will not go to heaven. And there must be warning. In Ezekiel 33, verse 7, we read, So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my mouth, and warn them from me. And so the faithful servant of God must be known not only for comforting, for in Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people, but also for warning. It's a solemn thing for one to die in their sins. But in contrast, a believer has life. And they will die in the Lord. That's the difference, isn't it? And they will have the prospect of life in heaven and eternal life forever and ever. Now John writes here, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And as we consider love, it is a badge of Christianity. Our Lord said in John 13 verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. The world will know. That's the test, isn't it? We think of those words of our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, that they will see your good works and glorify the Father. There's a test. The world will know that we belong to Jesus by our love. We must consider that. William Goose, the Puritan, wrote, even strangers will be able to know from other men in the world. When we read, we know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. But just briefly, as we come to these words in this chapter, after speaking of the love of God in view of adoption, we have those well-known words we considered a couple of months ago in verse 1 and verse 2. The apostle deals with marks of the Christian. Marks of the Christian. The way we live. We're not sinning in bondage now. Yes, we still have indwelling sin, but we're not sinning in bondage. We've been delivered from bondage. The Son has made us free. It's not our life. Sin has not such a grip on us now. Yes, we battle with sin. But we don't sin in the way that the unconverted sin, in such bondage, in such grip. That's a mark. But also, particularly from verse 14, we consider this mark of grace, love. And as we think of these words, this can be an aid to assurance. For we read here, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Let us come now directly to these words. First of all, death. Secondly, life. Thirdly, love. And fourthly, comfort. Firstly, death. Here we're to consider, if we are a child of God, a true Christian here tonight, what we have passed from. We know that we have passed from death unto life. And that plainly implies that we were not born Christians. The true believer has passed from death unto life. We're not born with grace in our hearts. We're not born with love in our hearts. We're born, but we're spiritually dead. And there is a bondage. We've already hinted at that tonight. There's a slavery to sin. There's a living for sin. Now the true believer finds himself saying, "O wretched man as I am," and they find themselves battling. Yes, we do fail. We do sin. But through the grace of the Lord and the strength of the Holy Spirit, we're able at times to resist, but not so the unbeliever. For moment after moment, they break the first commandment by not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a grip. As we thought at the table earlier, there were those chief priests. We have no king but Caesar. And that's what people are saying today. They're in the grip of sin. We think of that sin and other sin. They're living for sin. What a state of deadness they're in. What misery they are in. And they're under God's wrath and curse. Under the sentence of death. But the believer has passed from death unto life. From one place to another. Our Lord said in John 5 verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." There's been a passing, and the believer is not under condemnation, but all men without Christ are under condemnation. What a sentence over the unbeliever. And they are spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. There's no love to the Lord. And there's no love to the brethren. And one is facing physical death as a punishment, and then eternal death. Let's just consider spiritual death, and as we do so, turn to 1 Timothy 5 verse 6. "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." There it is, there's a proof text. One is physically alive, but they're dead spiritually. Living in pleasure. There's this pleasure of sin. They're spiritually dead. In Ephesians 2 verse 1 we read, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So many are spiritually dead in this realm. They're alive. We meet some of them. But they're spiritually dead. They have no life in them. What about you? You may say, "Well, I have love." Show me thy love to see if it's true. Have you life or are you spiritually dead? For those that are spiritually dead are facing death as a punishment. Listen to the words of our Lord in John 8 verse 24. "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." What a word that is. For those unbelieving Jews, ye shall die in your sins. And if you're all about Christ here tonight, I say this lovingly, ye shall die in your sins. You're dead spiritually, and you're going to die in your sins. What does that mean? Your sins are not forgiven. You're still under condemnation if you do not turn to Christ. What a serious state to be in. And what a solemn prospect if you turn not to the Saviour. Listen to Calvin commenting on those words in John 8. "They were disobedient and rebellious to the very last. But the believer was delivered. And though they were rebellious, they were not rebellious to the last. But those who die in their sins," says Calvin, "they were disobedient and rebellious to the very last." How solemn. To come to the valley still rejecting Christ. To face the final few moments still rejecting Christ. How solemn. Those who die in their sins will go to that place called hell. Oh, what punishment they will face after the great day as well. In Matthew 25 verse 41, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." I pray there's no one here that will go away into everlasting punishment. No one I know that will go away into everlasting punishment. But if you're without Christ, you will. If you die in your sins. I must tell you of this. What a solemn thing it is to be under the sentence of death. We think that all men are spiritually dead by nature. Those who don't go to church, many of them, are spiritually dead. But there's some who do go to church, and they're spiritually dead as well, the hypocrites. And there are people I know in this area who go to church, but they don't love the Lord. I was taught every Lord's Day afternoon by a Sunday school teacher. She told me of Jesus. She told me the gospel. She exhorted me and others to live my life for Jesus. She always had a Bible. She said her prayers. And she led us week after week, month after month, year after year. She told me of Jesus, but she didn't know him. She went off to a mission and fell into sin, and walked no more with Jesus. What do I mean? She never walked with Jesus inwardly, but that outward profession. One who taught me every week of Jesus. When she attended a funeral a few years ago, she was the most hardened one there. Oh, that she would turn to Christ. What a state of deadness to be in. To speak of Jesus. But not to know him. And yet there are so many in that state. And it will be revealed on the great day. In Matthew 7 verse 21, "Listen to Jesus. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. It's important we examine ourselves. We can look at others, but we need to examine ourselves to see if we are of the faith. Because there are some in churches tonight who are deceived. And on that great day, it will be revealed. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We did this. Lord, look on me, surely I'm saved. No, you're not. We prayed. Surely we're saved. No, you're not. In thy name did many wonderful works. You're not saved. Then would I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Do you know Jesus? He knows you. You can't deceive Jesus. What do we read in Timothy? 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That's a comfort to you who love the Lord. But perhaps someone's here. You're not the Lord's, but you're pretending. The Lord knows. What a thing if he doesn't know you in a special way as he knows me and others who love the Lord here tonight. What does Jesus know about you? What's your heart like? Does he see that he lives within your soul? What did Paul say? Christ liveth in me. He knows if he lives in your heart. He knows if you love him. Dear child of God, he knows. He knows that you love him. All is well for your soul. A couple of years ago at the communion season, I was asked to preach on the marks of grace. And an elderly minister came in who had come from the hospital because he was so struggling with depression. And I remember seeing him at the back of this church in Glasgow and thought, what a subject I've got to preach on. Marks of grace for the Song of Solomon. And I remember saying at this point, you may say, do I really love him? But the Lord knows that you do. Because he put love in your heart. And what we struggle. But dear child of God, the Lord put love in your heart. That man has no struggles now. He hasn't had struggles for 3 years. Because he's been looking at Jesus in heaven. The Lord knows, dear child of God, the Lord knows that you have been delivered from death. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Let's move on more briefly and consider life. Be very brief here. We know that we are passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, said Jesus, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. He that believeth. And if you have believed in Jesus, you can say, I have life. It's not how much you exercise faith, but if you have looked to Jesus. Remember in the wilderness, in the camp, the brazen serpent was erected on the pole. And all who looked, lived. Now there were those who were very near to the pole, and they saw much detail. They looked and they lived, but there were others. Far away, they couldn't see all the detail, they didn't understand all the detail, but they looked. And they lived. It's not how much you know, but if you believe in Jesus, you can say you have life. I have life. You've passed from death unto life. This word pass from one place to another. What a moment it is, isn't it? When the Lord puts life within. When one passes. Have you passed? Have you this life? Just a few thoughts here, first of all. It's all of God's grace, isn't it? You thought of one that is dead spiritually. They can't give themselves life. No. You have he quickened, says the apostle. It's of the Lord, isn't it? Children, if you go down to the beach and you pick up a stone and you look at it And then you open it and you see a fossil therein. It's dead, isn't it? That creature that was once there. No matter what you do, that little creature will not live again. It's dead, isn't it? It's all of God then. He puts life within, left to ourselves. We would still be not believing in Jesus, left to ourselves. We may be in church. We may be saved. But we won't be believing in Jesus. But the Lord in His grace puts life within. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Secondly, a life from Christ is put within by the Holy Spirit. The hour is coming, says Christ, in John 5, verse 25, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You see, there's life from the Lord. He came that there might be life, John 10, verse 10. Have you a life from the Lord put within by the Spirit? Have you heard His voice? The voice of the shepherd? In Ezekiel 16, verse 6, we read, when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. If you heard His voice. A life from Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to have life. A principle of grace, that life from the Lord within. And to know that one is alive and will enjoy life after death and then forever. We foretell you of death. For the unbeliever, it will come as by way of punishment, but not for the believer. How do we know that? Philippians 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It's not a punishment, is it? No. James Fisher writes, unspeakable gain. That's not a punishment, is it? The believer faces death, but death to them is not a punishment, because Christ bore all their sins and was punished in their place. As James Fisher goes on to write, death paves the way to heaven and glory. There's life of death, and life forever. We pass from death unto life. We're not spiritually dead now. And in death, there's no fearful sting. No, we will see Jesus. And then on that great day, our bodies shall be raised. And we shall forever be with the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 17. What a prospect. Now, John spoke of this earlier in the chapter. Go back to verse 1 and verse 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a day when we shall be like Him. Till then, you who have life, what do you desire? To be more like Him in your heart. There's a day coming when there will be a likeness to Christ in the body. There will be a difference. On you there will be no scars. The only scars there will be in the hands of Jesus, and on His side and on His feet. What a likeness there will be. But all to be more like Him here below. Have you the prospect of eternal life? You may say, how do I know that I have passed from death unto life? For the Lord gives the answer in verse 24, John 5. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me, have everlasting life, is passed from death unto life. Have you life? Can you say that Christ liveth in me? What a wonderful life it is. It is, isn't it? To have Christ in my life. Yes, there are the valleys to pass through. The rivers of difficulty to cross. The mountains of tribulation to climb. But there's a Redeemer in my life and at my side. And I believe I can focus on Him. Who is this that cometh forth from the wilderness, leaning on the Beloved? Psalm of Solomon 8, verse 5. We think of that wilderness we came from. Such a bondage. We were in the grip of sin. But we didn't find ourselves in heaven when we were converted. And we passed through another wilderness, and it is a privilege to lean on Him. There are difficulties, but what a wonderful life compared to the unbeliever. The Lord leads. There was a farmer in South Wiltshire, and he used to sing these words often in the home. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. What a blessed life, following the Lord. Looking to Him in the wilderness. It may be a wilderness, but my life is better than the unbeliever's life. It's a wonderful life. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Thirdly, as we draw to a close, love. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's a mark of true faith. It's a mark that we have been delivered. Now we can consider a love that is natural. And we need to consider these things. We can think of an unconverted husband loving their wife, or an unconverted wife loving their husband. We can think of unconverted parents loving their children. And you know unconverted people who so love their family and others. There's a natural love. Secondly, there's a sinful love. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10, for example, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of it. You need money. And we need to be wise. We need water, as Watson puts it, for the sailing of the ship. The danger is when the water gets into the ship. There's a sinful love. The love of money is the root of all evil. But that's, having considered the natural love and the sinful love, what John writes here of is that grace of love. And we need to consider this. We can meet people in the world that have much love, but don't love Jesus. It's so important why we need to examine ourselves. Not everybody that says they love the Lord loves the Lord. One can say they love the Lord, but not have that grace of love within. In the new birth, faith is put within. And love is put within. That's plain, isn't it? We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. One may say they love someone, but without Christ they do not truly love with a grace that the writer here writes of. Because they don't have that grace. Love is put within. The grace of the Lord draws near to us, and through the Spirit, love is put within. Galatians 5 verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's what He's working. It's wrought within, isn't it? And just consider this a little further. We have love because God first loved us. Turn over the page to 1 John 4 verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. He loved us in such a special way. Verse 21 of 1 John 4, this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. See the focus there on love. Begins with God, and where there's true love, there's love to the brother. Do you love God? Can you honestly say, I love the Lord? How do you know if someone loves you? Well, they do acts of love, don't they? Do you show to the Lord that you love Him? When did you last say it? I know some of you did earlier because we sang it at the table. When did you last sing or say it before the table today? That you love the Lord. You think of a loved one, you make it known that you love them. How much more we should be making known to Christ that we love Him? And not just that we say it, but we show to Him our love. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, we fail, we sin, but a holy life is evidence of one loving Jesus. Show to Jesus that you love Him. And show to the world John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one to another. That is very humbling, isn't it? For a year or two at Hillier's, my first job, I didn't speak much of the Lord, even just to say I went to church. I had to put that right once. One of my work colleagues asked for directions, so I wrote them on the back of a tract. That got me into difficulty. But I was thankful that he knew I loved Jesus. The world will know. Now we have some interesting words in Philemon 1 verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. Hearing of thy love which is in thy heart. You think of that. He heard of their love, his love, and their love. And here's the test. Do people hear of the love that's in your heart? Sadly, sometimes the pastor hears of bitterness. Hears of bitterness in the heart. What do I mean? When it comes forth from the heart. Sometimes a pastor hears of unkindness. What do I mean? When his unkind acts, and the pastor hears. I'm thankful I've heard a lot of your love, dear members here. Hearing of thy love, I've heard what happened in your heart. And that brings me joy and comfort. Read verse 7 of Philemon. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. We have great joy and consolation in thy love. We're to so live to bring joy to our fellow believers and comfort by the way we love and that love in the soul. What's heard from your heart? What's heard from my heart? Does it bring joy and comfort? For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. I can truly say this. I've been comforted by your love, dear members, here in this church. I've been listening to your heart, we could say. Comforted by love. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. This church is full of comfort. Because the hearts are full of love. And that makes me a happy pastor. Fourthly and finally, comfort. We know, it's those two words, we know that we have passed from death unto life. We know. A number of believers are troubled because of a lack of assurance. Satan fires his darts. Faith is seen as weak. How important it is to read the Bible. Don't be surprised if you struggle with doubts if you put the Bible to one side. Turn with me to 1 John 5 verse 13, this makes it plain. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, he's addressing believers there. These things have I written unto you that believe. But it's addressing believers who are struggling with doubts. You go to the Word of God. You may struggle in reading, but let me assure you this. The Lord will come in his good time, and just maybe a word or two or a verse or a chapter will lift the heart. The voice of my beloved. And just to consider that for a few moments or an hour can bring great blessing to the soul. These things are written. So what do we read here? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We know. It is known where there is a hatred. Notice the end of the verse, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. It's known there. But it's known where there is a love. We know. Can you say that tonight? I love the Lord. and I loved about them. This is a happy place, because there's much assurance here, because love has flowed around your hearts, and you can be assured. And as Pastor, I say to you, members, be comforted. Join in with me. We know, because I've held your love so much recently, and I've known joy and consolation. Reverend Malcolm Watts last year said, you always get a hug at Ipswich. It's not to say they don't get hugs at Salisbury and other places, but this place is known. And you who show love, you be assured tonight you're a Christian. That listening ear, that sincere hug, the tissue passed to you when you're crying, you be assured you love the Lord. We know. If you have bitter words, criticizing words, that won't help you. But if you have love, the Lord will comfort you. What do we read in 2 Timothy verses 1 and verse 1, chapter 1, verse 12? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know. Can you say that tonight? It's not saying you're always still so strong in the Lord. It may be when you're on your knees, struggling. Lord, I'm struggling to pray, but this I know. I believe in thee. We know. If it's not your testimony tonight, go to the Saviour. Come unto me, Jesus Christ. What a blessing to know you're a Christian. Because you love the Lord. You're seeking to live for him because you want to love him more by keeping the commandments. When you go on in sin, you will not be assured. And you cannot expect to be assured. But when you seek to do that which is right, it will come. And when there is much love, it will come. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. One may say, well, I know all this about theology. I've done so many things. Do you love the brethren with a true love? A Sunday school teacher told me often she loved Jesus. She didn't love him. I pray one day she will love him. And if she will come to find Christ as our Saviour, our love must be more than words. It must be in deed and in truth. The Lord knows you. Does he know you have love? And is that love heard by the pastor and others? And does it bring joy and comfort to the pastor and others? If it does, you can be assured. We know that we are passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Keep loving. There's been much love here in affliction. Let's not lose it when we get to the green pasture. And let the world see. People around this village need to see the love we have in our hearts. Love to the Lord by the way we live. An unrighteous walk does not show love to unconverted people. If you seek to walk in a right way, that will be a testament to the world. And your love to the brethren. True love, a real love. Well, love is a sign of life in the soul. And if you have love, it's a sign. You have life. Christ lives within. You think of Christ, such a heart of love. And he went about doing good, as we see in Acts, such deeds of love. The true believer has Christ within, and there will be some pale reflection. How could there be but some reflection if Christ is within? Your love to the brethren, it pleases the Lord, and it will bring comfort to your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to our final psalm. Psalm 89, verses 13 through to verse 19. Thou hast another, we will sing from verse 15 to verse 19. O greatly blessed the people are, the joyful sound that know. In brightness of thy face, O Lord, they ever on shall go. They in thy name shall all the day rejoice exceedingly. And in thy righteousness shall they exalted be on high. And notice verse 19. In vision to thy holy one thou sets thy help upon, a strong one laid, out of the folk I raised a chosen one. It's a reference to Christ. And the help we needed in the gospel, in life, in death, was placed on Christ as spiritual made known. And when was it placed on him? In eternity, when that covenant was made. Psalm 89, verses 15 to 19, and the truth is Winchester.
Oh, greatly blessed the
and the communion of the Holy Ghost would be with you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen.